Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So this is coming out morning of Wednesday, November 4th, but it is currently election day, which I don't think exists anymore since people have been voting for like six fucking weeks.
Well, yeah, right? For this election. I mean, yeah, it's usually a big day.
Counting day, should it be called now?
Yeah, counting day.
Counting day. Although we should have off of work, maybe eventually, but kind of a strange time. My idea was to have a couple people on who are comfortable,
yeah,
friends of the program,
right?
Almost a panel discussion. In talking about it, I wrote those guys saying, hey, let's just keep it loose. Let's just all talk to each other. I don't have that much stuff. And Jeff said, no, serious interviews only. I want one 70-minute question apiece. And then I said that I was going to be Walter Cronkite. Jeff was going to be Peter Jennings. And I thought Chris Farron was a little Joe Rogan-y.
Oh, gosh.
And I said that Stereo Gum called him a little Rogan-esque. But I don't know if he found it funny or not. Chris is a hard guy to gauge like that, you know?
Yeah, it's not funny.
No, I don't think it's funny. I tried. I'm trying to bring a little light to the day. Even though the interview got a little dark at times, it's hard not to avoid it in these times. But I thought it would be fun to just have some friends on talking for a little while in case we need a distraction today. We did still get good insight about the daily lives and the mysteries of Antartico Vespucci.
Yeah, we did.
Chris and Jeff, who live like 2 minutes away from each other.
It's interesting. Yeah, I didn't know that.
So how do you think it went?
I think it's a wonderful interview. It's a good show. It's a great show to listen to on the day after Election Day.
I mean, I got to assume, you know, by the time people might see this on Wednesday morning, I don't think we're still really
going to know
what's going on yet.
I don't think so.
So there's going to be anticipation. There's going to be these things.
They're
going to
need
strange.
Something to distract from the fucking news cycle.
That's
so
right.
Here it is.
That's right. I remember, you know what's so weird is, so I worked at a newspaper called the Daily Targum in Rutgers. And I believe, what was the election that was super hotly contested with the hanging chads?
Yeah, that's versus Gore.
Gore. Was that 06?
That would have been
right. 06 sound right?
No, it was 2000, dude, because it was right before 9/11.
Oh, man, I'm old.
Yeah, we would have had, we wouldn't have had the fucking war in Iraq if those hanging chads hadn't held us up.
That's true. So I worked at a newspaper. And like at that point, our newspaper normally wrapped, you know, the actual content of the paper by, you know, 11, 12 at night. And, you know, then we had to go to press and all the things to actually get it out by the morning.
Right.
And if you went much further than, I believe the printing press started charging you a fine every 15 minutes at 2 a.m. So if you started pushing past 2 a.m., you were paying a great sum of money every 15 minutes for pushing them so far back.
Right.
'Cause imagine from 2 o'clock in the morning, what it takes to receive, plate, press, and deliver a newspaper.
Right.
You know,
right.
You're kind of fucking them over. So it turned out because of our fear of the printing press, but also trumping our fear of being wrong, I sat at work all night long until like 6 in the morning because we didn't officially know the results.
Right.
And it turned out for a college newspaper and what we were, one of the only papers in the country that didn't run a statement about who won. It actually ran a, I don't know. There's still some things that are contested. But to imagine like 20 years ago, we were so accustomed to having an answer that night.
Right.
Right? Like election day was election day.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, I don't know when this changed, when like, we have like election few days and like everything.
Well, it's just,
it seems so intentionally convoluted right now.
It's because of the close elections. And also remember that, like, you know, that election as well, Bush lost the popular vote. I mean, as it turns out, he lost that election.
Yeah.
And since it was close, that's why it took time. And I think that's been the case. I don't think it's as new as you think. I think this election, because of the pandemic and because of all the mail-in votes, that's why they're telling people, look, it's going to take some time. I think there's always those mail-in votes that they count after the election, but
right.
Generally they know how many mail-in votes they have and they know that they're not going to sway the results, I think is the way it works.
Right.
But if it's a close election, the potential, yeah, it's, the potential for them not knowing for days or even weeks, I think. Like,
yeah.
The hanging Chad thing went on for weeks, that
yes,
recount.
Yes, weeks. Yeah.
And was eventually wild. Not settled. It was settled by the Supreme Court, if you recall. They called it. They said to stop counting.
Yeah. Well, I hope it doesn't get to that again. In 2000, I did vote for Ralph Nader. I will admit it. But it was at a time when that felt and seemed a lot safer.
Right.
Ralph Nader, for you young children, was Bernie Sanders 20
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah. He was trying to promote the third party.
Yeah.
Which it's questionable whether we need a third party. It's impossible for one to take root in this country the way things are going now. But I mean, yeah, it's the idea of a third party is not, there was a time when it was more practical. And I think that time was like 100 years ago, you know?
I don't know. What if? Let's just say, like, so, I, you know, it's not like I came up with this theory or prediction. A lot of people a lot smarter than me have. But this idea that, like, if Trump, like, unequivocally loses, you know, like couldn't actually contest it and unequivocally loses, that the second it's over, he's going to declare his candidacy in 2024.
Right.
He's never going to stop campaigning.
Right.
He's going to stay on the trail. He's going to keep his base. He's going to keep the whole crowdfunding machine going. And then in 2024, by then,
he's going to take all the money and go to Russia.
The Republican Party reels back and they're a little more normalized and not as far out as they were right now. And he's like, oh, they're a bunch of wimps now. They think Obama's born in America. Right. I'm running the Trump ticket. You know, like that's how a third party could happen right now.
Yeah, maybe.
Or what if Barack comes back and does the same thing?
No, I don't think it'll work.
Michelle?
I don't know. What am I saying? I'm not a fucking, I don't know about enough. I'm not
we
a
don't
political
know anything.
Story.
No. We are both like fairly good, basically jobless musicians. So, yeah, like I don't think we have the right to talk too much about political theory. But I wanted to do this episode to just try to like have some buds on. Talk a little bit, like just enjoy like some pleasantries, but in a real way, because a lot of the things I was asking about, I'm really curious, you know, the thing as someone who's traveled like 49 states in this country and most of them extensively, I've literally been to places where, you know, 5 minutes into a conversation, a couple things I hear and I'm like, oh, I'm like the first Jewish person you've ever talked to in your life. And there's a couple questions that come out where I'm like, oh, I really am. You don't know what's going on. You sound really out of touch. But it's not from a place of malice. It's
right.
Literally from a place of confusion. And so much of it to me, I feel like, you know, I guess it's something I've resented this whole time, is this idea that someone from, you know, I have no resentment towards small town America. I have resentment about someone from small town America who's never really left small town America telling me what this country is like.
Right.
And telling me who's good and telling me who's bad and which places are good and which places are bad, because you just don't fucking know. Sorry. Like, your whole experience of it is secondhand and you don't really know. And, you know, somebody who's gotten out there and traveled and done and still lands on the same morality, I can no longer give them the mulligan of ignorance.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like people who've never left their town, people who are severely undereducated or just never like got into it like that. Like, they get a mulligan to me. It's like, yeah, they never have like a choice, really. Right. It's just simply your exposure in your life. And if you never jump outside of that, you know, there's people in tribes in the middle of the jungle somewhere who still think like, you know, they're gods. Like, things people convince themselves when they never leave, you know? So I do think there's some truth to that. But on that logic, wouldn't the idea of globalism and, you know, massive communication and the idea that, like, something horrible can happen somewhere 6,000 miles away and all these people can see a video of it and actually understand it and know the direct source of it, you'd think that would maybe change things. And honestly, the optimistic side of me still think it has.
Well, I don't know if you remember, but at the kind of the birth, not the birth of the internet, but sort of like, you know, kind of the post crash, right? When the internet really got going again, like in the early 2000s, maybe, that was kind of the hope was that this, you know, this instant connection all over the world, this access to knowledge was going to break down all these barriers and was going to prevent these misunderstandings from happening.
Yeah.
And instead, it's amplified the misunderstandings. This was not something that anybody really foresaw. They foresaw just the opposite, that, like, there's no way that these, you know, evil countries will be able to keep doing evil if, like, it's out there for everybody to see, you know? And then, and like, the Arab Spring kind of, like, you know, ratified that a little bit. But then, really, it's done more harm than good, in that it's amplified sort of the divisions.
Well, it's given the avenue for misinformation to burn so much faster and so much quicker. I used a sort of crude analogy at some point, but I think it's kind of true. It's like, if you walk into a Waffle House anywhere in America at like 3 or 4 in the morning, there's like usually a table of pretty scary dudes. Like, especially people you don't see in New York. Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. These guys are out. They're out drinking.
Yeah.
There's no woman in sight. They all came together.
Right.
And you know what? Just problems are afoot.
Yes.
You know? And
yes.
God knows what happens at this table. And the only analogy I could come up with is the fact that, like, at 3 in the morning, the guys at this table found another table just like them.
Right.
You know what I mean? It used to be a town away,
right,
and they never met each other.
Right.
But now they get drunk, they're online, and they're sharing waffles together, right, here, you know, like metaphorically sharing waffles, you know, talking it up. It's
right.
It's 3:30. I've had an Adderall. I've had half a bottle of Wild Turkey. No, the Holocaust doesn't exist.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like, I think that's like part of the issue. And not to say the same thing doesn't happen on the other side.
Right.
You know, I've seen a lot of misinformation, doctored videos, things that really only tell one part of the story, you know, like, because, you know, any algorithm that follows me is trying to enrage me with things that are, you know, are enraging.
No, it's true. It's true.
To keep me clicking around.
Yeah.
So part of this to me and part of my efforts are like, I know sometimes it can really come off like you're passing the buck or you're minimizing what's happening by not engaging in like political theater or not being like super vocal about what you want people to believe. But at the same time, I feel like it might be the best route to stop feeding this machine. You know, like, there are a lot of people getting rich as fuck right now on everything that's happening.
Right.
You know? And everything that's happening was semi-doctored by them to do exactly what's happening.
Right.
So I feel like in order to not be a fucking sucker, like, we're all getting duped by the same assholes. You know what I mean? And that's why I like less clicks and less views on the advertisements they're selling in between enraging you might be one of the best tactics to bringing it all down a notch. I don't know. I don't know what other kind of power someone like me has, you know?
Well, just have the power to talk, baby.
Yeah.
Let them know.
Gift the gab.
Let them know we're here. And we like rock. We like to
rock. I started this interview with Jeff and Chris today. I was like, all right, I'm going to not write down too many questions and maybe get a little toasty before I do it. And I feel like the first 20 minutes, I'm just like, yeah, bro.
This show starts very well. This is fun. We should actually just jump into it because this
should
is,
we jump in?
This is a
fucking we're just
going to
bum people out more.
This is a blast of a show and some people may need to hear it.
Did you know Chris Farren's from the corner of New York and Manhattan Avenue? I never knew.
Oh. Well, you're going to find out. It's going on.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet. The arsonist. That squirrel can water ski.
Hello.
The arsonist had oddly shaped feet.
Hello, Chris.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Benny. Hi, Brad.
Hi, friends.
Can we just do, for like an hour, can we just do that, like randomness?
Give me something else to say. I'll
repeat anything.
This is our first art podcast.
This is our first art podcast.
I've heard of going off track, but going art track? Chris?
Going art track?
Chris?
Hey, that's a good joke. You know I like that kind of humor.
Hey, guys. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks
hey, my pleasure.
On.
Everything sounds okay?
Yeah, you guys sound like
Brad,
pros.
Tell me.
You sound like professionals.
Nice.
We are.
You guys are no problem because you both sit at home and like record records and shit. It's easy.
That's right.
We're also podcasters.
Yeah.
And famously.
Yeah. What's this new one?
It's the same one. It's our Lost podcast, Back to the Island.
But you're done with Lost, right?
No, we have one more episode of Lost to watch, but so we're just dragging the podcast out until.
Oh, I see.
So we had Bat to the Eye Man. Oh, is that? Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
You want some synth, Scott?
Yeah. Wait. Jeff, what do you have on there that could sound like the Addams Family or something?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, give me a second. I'm only plugged into my Juno, which isn't like a it's a synth, but
this one. My little cheat
sheet
says it's an accordion.
Whoa.
No, that's crazy.
Oh, wait.
That's pretty good. Right. Oh, no. Wait, Jeff, what's the perfect joke lick?
Perfect joke lick?
Yeah, like if someone tells a funny, I'm looking at Chris. What's the perfect like little like Seinfeld baseline thing you could play?
I have no idea. Oh, I'm not like I don't have my slap bass, my synth slap bass shit.
They call it like a sting or something.
Sting. I'm really bad at like joke stings. I just try and not make any. I'm just like that person's being funny. I should not do anything with joke sting time. I'm not good at it. I wish I was good. It'd probably make me better. Oh, well, I have a slide whistle, but it's upstairs. I got this. This would be good. Like a.
Yes. That's mine.
Yeah. Yes. And that's my vibra slap.
Oh, that's my vibra slap.
And why didn't you do it?
Because you have it at your house.
Oh, that's the fucking oldest lie any old person would ever tell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Chris, I don't believe you don't have an in-house Viber Slap right now.
I used to.
Oh, what happened? Tell me your sob story.
I lent it to my best friend.
It is true. This is Chris's Viber Slap, and he lent me his melodica.
What's
me and Chris
best...
live near each other, so we lend each other stuff frequently, what, I'd say now.
It, what's the best rock. Use of a Viber Slap in a song? Is it cake?
No. Shit. What's maybe I think it's the song As One by Rancid.
Oh.
But Rancid is the best Viber Slap band, I think.
Interesting.
Because, like, you know,
about,
they do like an
Ozzy have
like intro. Let's go! And then, you know.
But wait, what about the Ozzy song? Isn't like.
Oh, is that in Crazy Train, too?
Yeah, Crazy Train is wicked.
Crazy Train's got a slap.
Okay, yeah.
It's got a slap.
Well, two different things.
Isn't there.
Rock music and rock music?
There's a Viber Slap in. What is the. What is like the most famous westerns? The Ennio Morricone.
Ennio Morricone. The westerns.
Oh, the good, bad, and the and the Uggo.
Yeah,
everything in those. Soundtracks.
That might be the most widely used slap around.
Yeah,
it's true. Hey, Chris,
what's up?
Can you turn your mic up just so I can hear you more?
Yes, hold on.
And can everybody? I just accidentally turned something.
Hello.
There it is.
Different. Hello. Yes, baby.
Thank you, my friend. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Everybody sounds fantastic now.
Great.
Thank you for producing.
How about
Jeff?
If I had a little bit of chorus on my voice? Is this the pod? Yes, no?
Oh, yeah.
That was it. We're done.
Oh, we're in.
Thank you.
Oh,
yeah, we're in it.
Sick.
And you're out.
Cool.
Go get a burrito, whatever you people in Southern California do.
I mean, you know, everybody likes a burrito.
Oh yeah,
that's true.
I might be eating a burrito right now. What's it to you?
What, Jeff? There it is.
I'm so sorry, Chris. Most?
What do you miss most from Greenpoint, food wise?
Oh,
pizza pie.
Yeah, pizza. It's 100%.
Chris, what was that accent?
I'm from Greenpoint. New York. Hello. Jolly, good day. It's me. I'm from New York, mate.
Oh, spot on.
Chris, are you originally from New York?
Yeah, right down there in Greenpoint.
You sound punk, too.
I was born at the Greenpoint Medical Building.
Ah, what's the cross streets there?
New York and Manhattan streets.
Okay.
Right on.
That's a great neighborhood.
And New York and Manhattan. And he's leaving?
He left. Sorry, that guy is gone.
How do you get a taxi just like that? You're in California.
A New York taxi pulled up to the front door of my house, and he got in and he left.
That's a real New Yorker.
Jeff, that's Hollywood, baby.
That's a New Yorker in Hollywood, baby.
That's Hollywood, baby. You just think of it.
I guess nothing stays open past like if a restaurant stays open past 10 o'clock here, you're lucky. And I'm very used to just like getting a falafel at like 1 o'clock in the morning if I feel like it. So that's something I miss. How about all my friends?
You can't eat your friends.
Okay.
Go on. Yes.
No, that's okay.
I feel like LA, though, has an underrated diner scene. Like, of all the places in America, you can get, like, good greasy spoon kind of diner food at all hours of the night in Los Angeles. It's definitely
that's
one.
That's true.
At all hours of the night? No, I don't think so. I don't think they're 24 hours. I don't really know because I wasn't here when they were open, to be fair. But Chris, sorry.
Yeah, Jeff moved here and then like a month later, coronavirus happened.
No one ever leaves their house.
Look at that fallout. It was you.
But there's like, I mean, this is like so useless to listen to for anybody. But there's like a place by 365. Whole Foods called like Astro something. I think that's 24 hours.
Is that one 24 hours?
Or at least it was at one point.
I've been there. They have chilaquiles and they were good.
I love a chilaquiles.
Nice.
A little crunch in your eggs is underrated.
What is it?
But it's like a weird, it's like a melt, it's like a soggy chip that is good.
Almost like a lasagna. Mexican lasagna.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
I call it Mexican lasagna.
The Jewish Italian side of my family used to make matzah lasagna for me.
I was about to ask. That sounds terrible. I'm picturing layers of matzah with chopped liver smeared between them. Is that right?
No, why would you put chopped liver in a lasagna, Jeff?
Why would you put matzah in a lasagna?
It's because of the time of year you're not supposed to eat stuff in noodles.
Okay, so what is this lasagna? I don't know.
It's,
I thought it was just all Jewish foods.
With
those are the two I can think of.
Instead of noodles.
And that's it?
That's it, yeah.
What is that like?
It's okay. It can get a little gooey. But if you're used to like... internationally traveling around and eating vegetable lasagnas anywhere, they're never good.
I love to internationally travel around, by the way.
You do?
I'm a huge fan of it, and I continue to do it to this day.
So you never stopped, right, Chris? You've just been jet setting this whole time.
I've been bopping around playing.
I mean, the
shows
were, they were booked, they didn't get canceled. What's he to do?
Yeah,
he respects his fans.
I respect my fans.
You booked the Red State Tour.
What's left of them, were you going to say?
I was going to say what's left of them, but then I didn't want to imply that I was losing fans' like popularity. I was trying to say that they're dying.
So maybe soon we're getting on the cusp of having like Live Nation Blue and Live Nation Red. You know, right. Like the places where like, we don't care. Come on through. And then the places where you actually care. And Live Nation will manage to somehow capitalize on both.
I think this is giving Live Nation a lot of credit to think that they're not just 100% Live Nation Red.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So you're saying that like right-wing ignorance might save the music scene? Is that what you're saying, Benny?
I'm not saying it's going to save it.
Give me a bright side, dude.
It's not going to hurt it, is what Benny's saying.
They've made it clear they're not going to stop.
Right.
You know, like... You know, it's like when you have a person in your life who's kind of like fucking up their life and then like some real flashbulb thing happens where you're like, oh, this will get this person to turn around. You know, like their mother dying will make them turn around and you know, take life. And then 6 months later, they're doing the same thing. And you're like, oh, OK, there's nothing.
Right.
If that didn't do it, then, you know, it won't do it. I'm kind of at that point with those types of people. It's like every step, you know, where I went for like 2 years going, oh, this is the line.
Right.
This is where reason will take over. And then it just never happened. So I stopped imagining it would, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah. So
we all understand.
So that being said, thank you. Slap it.
No, we're in sci-fi world now.
Ooh. Okay, that's good.
Me like.
What was your guys' first election that you remember and you could vote in?
I was in my pool, and
four years ago because Chris is actually
I was up
very
against
young.
The I was kind of just like hanging on the side of the pool, and I was like up against one of the jets, around my hip, and then I like moved, and it kind of got like.
Election.
I think it was the George Bush one, or was the second George Bush one. How old am I?
25. So you must have like you know gone with
25.
Yeah.
I made that joke earlier, but you were talking about a boner and you were focused.
Wait, Chris, I had to get that out.
We could determine it probably on who you voted for. Who did you vote for?
I'm sure I voted for...
or no one.
Who was up against... John
fucking Kerry.
Yeah, I think that...
Another
I think that might have been
Democratic candidate.
It was Gore the first time, right? And Kerry the second time.
Yeah, Kerry was the first person I ever voted for.
Okay.
And very I'm very like ashamed and humiliated. The only political like rally that I've ever been to was a John Edwards rally.
Go on. How did that happen?
Oh my.
It was like I don't know, it was somewhere in like Fort Myers, which is like an hour outside of Naples, and me and I want to say, I think Derek Perry and my now wife and somebody else went and watched him speak.
How did it feel? What was that like?
I don't remember a lot about it, but I do remember thinking like, yeah, like, you know, it's like going to a motivational speech, you know, like,
yeah,
they like, the, you know, that's why they're there. They're there to like pump you up and get you excited about right. them. So, yeah. you know, when I left, I was like, nice, cool. And it was cool to be somewhere where like everybody was kind of like-minded and stuff, but you know, it didn't really end up good in any way with that guy.
For the universal Edwardian cause, as it's yeah. been dubbed since.
How yeah. many people do you think right now are just thinking, if only John Edwards won the presidency and candidacy in 2004?
Yeah. I think this, when he was, when I went to see him, he was already the vice president, or like already going to be the vice president.
Oh, okay.
I see. Yeah.
Oh.
It's weird. I wonder if these politicians get coached by like Tony Robbins and like people like that. Not, you know, obviously not on like policy, but on just like what you're
I'm sure they like, you know, I'm sure there is different versions of like, you know, training or, practice and studies.
It might not be like Tony Robbins specifically, but they definitely have somebody teaching them how to do it. Haven't you seen the fucking that movie Charlize Theron and Seth Rogen?
Oh, right. No.
Long Shot?
I just lied. I had no idea what you're talking
That's
about.
A funny movie.
Yeah, Long Shot is good.
Is it about that?
It's about a speech writer.
Yeah.
Yeah, Benny, it is, kind of.
I bet there's a person in D.C. who's like... Who's like the person, you know, when the DNC is like, all right, this is our guy. Send him to Wendy, you know, and like Wendy is like
like the, Harvey Keitel style.
Exactly. Yeah. Like the wolf will fix it up. Yeah. There's got to be like the each side has like the person that they go to who gets paid in, like an erroneous amount of money to do it.
I don't know.
Maybe it's the same person. Maybe that's why they all kind of sound the same.
This side told Joe Biden to just not say anything ever.
Jeff, yeah. what was your first one?
I voted for Nader in the 2000 election. So the very first election I voted in, I witnessed getting stolen.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also voted for Ralph Nader in that election.
We're in New York and New Jersey. It doesn't matter who we vote for.
Well, I like, thought it
like
didn't matter
presidents
until...
don't even campaign to us.
No,
they're
they
just
don't.
Like, nah, yeah, we're good.
Honestly, I live pretty close to Pennsylvania now, and
that doesn't mean you could cast your vote there, does it?
It doesn't. But what I'm going to tell you is that literally the second you jump over the border, if you turn on the radio and drive down the highway, the apparent it's like illuminating how much more money is getting put into Pennsylvania from these races than
right,
New Jersey.
Right, right.
It is
like the second you cross, like literally.
It's completely insane that we are doing this podcast on election day before the election is counted and it when people yeah. will be this is these are our last moments not knowing how today is going to end up.
I know. And I was honestly deeply thinking about who I wanted to talk to today. And I wanted to talk to you guys, not because I want to be like illuminated.
Not because we're the easiest to get a hold of. Not because.
Well, listen, Brad and I did make a pact where we're like, if we don't have any great ideas, let's get friends of the show.
I've been talking about like a family.
Yeah, we
like
want,
a going
like,
off track like, family show. And,
this is our panelist. Yeah. You guys, your family, you know?
Not to,
thanks.
You know, not saying Steven and Jonah are not, you know, obviously they're
always welcome.
It's like they're, you guys are like the cousins. they're like our brothers.
They're family.
We
Chris Farron from the corner of New York and Manhattan Avenues.
That's right. A pizza pie, a biggest lobster roll I can fit in my car.
That's New York.
You're off character. Glad you went to lobster rolls and you own a car. You just took yourself.
I'm going to Walmart.
I didn't mean to. I got to turn off this thing.
No, no, keep it on.
No, it's off.
Where
I just leaned on
slap
it.
Go?
It's in front of me.
Oh, okay.
You can't just be all vibrant. I'll give you a little.
Oh, nice. A very nice little taste.
Brad, I got to do this to you, okay? What was yours, Brad?
My erection? My first erection?
Yeah, your first electrician.
I'm definitely not going to tell you the first I was eligible for, because that'll be a painful admittance of my age.
Brad, we all know what you are. Just wear what you dig, man.
It would have been probably late 80s. It probably would have been the first time I voted for president would have been in the W.
HW.
HW. Yeah, so 92.
That's probably the first time. But who? What was the election
before? Was Michael Dukakis running against him?
88. I 88, so. Probably. Who was 88? Okay.
88 was Reagan versus what? Mondale? No.
I don't know.
That's probably the first one I voted in. I'm not going to say whether I was eligible before that or not, though.
I would like you to tell us.
Just get
you. You saying that you won't say whether or not you're eligible or not makes me feel like this is definitely the first one you were eligible for. Nothing to hide.
I'll tell you what.
88 was George H.W. versus Dukakis.
I definitely did not vote for Ronald Reagan. I can tell you that.
Good. Sorry, Brad, I had to sneeze.
You know you're here to entertain, right? What are you doing here? I've been
homeschooling all morning. I'm like... I feel like an old housewife.
Wait, what? So your wife is actually currently what? Helping at a polling station?
Oh, yeah. She's at a polling station. She's working all day at a polling station.
That's cool.
And because
how'd she get involved in that?
She just wanted to do it. And unfortunately, they fucked up her registration and like lost it. And so she was supposed to get stationed like in the neighborhood, and instead she got stationed literally as far away as she possibly could have, which is Washington Heights, which is honestly as far away as she could have gotten put from us.
Where are you? Are you in
Lower East Side?
Damn, that sucks.
Yeah. So yeah, she had to get stationed in Manhattan because they station you in your borough, but that's it. She's up there in like upstate New York.
Have you had any word from her today, or is she not allowed to, like, communicate?
Yeah, no, she takes a couple breaks. She called a couple times. She seems to
Yeah, so what's the vibe? What's she seeing?
She said it's not crowded where she is at all. Not a lot of lines. Seems pretty mellow. Okay.
Was New York early voting super easy? In California, I feel like you've been able to vote for, like, 2 months.
So,
and there was a ballot box everywhere.
Yeah, I did early voting on the second day, and it was totally chill. Like, waited in line for maybe 10 minutes, not even. And I know somebody that went the day before on the first day, and they waited for a considerable amount of time, but I don't think it was like an hour. I think it was like maybe like a half hour or something.
Okay. Has early voting always been a thing? I feel like I've always known about like mail-in and absentee voting, but like early voting is like such a new concept to me.
It definitely is in some states. It's always been around for a lot of states. I don't know about New York.
I early voted last year. I filled out, I don't know exactly what it all means, or maybe not last year, maybe the year before. But I went down and I filled out like my absentee. I got my absentee ballot in person. I filled it out there and I gave it to them. So
where
I don't
were you
know,
able to do that? Like what place?
Some building in Brooklyn. I don't know. It was really, I don't remember. I feel like it was in like downtown. It felt a lot like the building you go to get like a foreign visa or passports or something like that. It was
probably
that kind
where
of vibe.
Chris Farron's cousins live.
Yeah.
Hey, down there.
It's next to the place with the big lobster rolls.
Big lobster rolls. And we get the biggest cups of soda you've ever seen.
Not any, you can't do that in New York anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
You sneak it?
I've always been able to do it.
Who knows the guy for the extra large sodas? Oh my God, is there like DL, like In-N-Out Burger? Is there like a DL menu now where people can get a 64-ounce soda in New York, but you just can't have it on the menu anymore?
I gotta go. He left.
The funniest thing about the 64-ounce soda is, like, the first place that you could get those massive drinks was in movie theaters, right? Which is, like, the last place you want to fucking drink 64 ounces of anything.
That's true.
Right?
That's a very good point.
That is a good point.
Well, I mean, you get it. You could share, but nobody, it's, I like the, it feels like the reasoning behind that is like, you're going to be sitting here for 2 hours. Right. You want to make sure that you have enough to drink. Here's 64 ounces.
Yeah.
Whereas, I used to share movie sodas all the time. And now,
with anybody? Whole row?
Yeah. Anybody? Yeah. Down there? Thirsty? And now I can't imagine sharing a soda with anyone.
Yeah.
It's
That's changed quickly.
I know, right?
Why?
Probably.
As you get older, you just.
Yeah. Feel, just a little more of mature. A germaphobe, Chris.
Okay, I get it.
Yeah. Just grew up. Now, I mean, I'm still a big believer in like the 20-second rule, 40-second rule. You know, I think that's just good for your body to eat.
Yeah.
I've always known it as the 5-second rule, by the way. You got a pretty big margin of error.
And think about how long
you
gotta, that
you
is,
You
got to
keep making it longer and longer as your body toughens
rule.
Up.
Yeah.
It, not if it's like a wet food.
Yeah,
but
you're not
like
going
cookie,
cheese
it's
down.
It's on the ground for a little over than half a minute. Who cares?
If my slice of pizza hits the ground.
If it's face down.
Yeah, face down, up, she's a goner. She's a goner.
Face up?
Face up? I'll make that like the 6-7 minute rule. Face up. What's going to happen? Unless you have pets or something, you know?
Even, if you have pets and you're going to eat hair. And that sucks. Like,
if
you see dirt on it, don't do it.
Anyway.
I think about how much I, like, toughened up my immune system having been on tour for so long.
Yeah.
And now I'm just like, am I just going to start from square one if things ever get back to normal?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to. I mean, start from square 10.
I think because of your efforts, you'll get back there quicker, you know?
Yeah.
But... No, I don't think you managed to change your entire microbiome situation in the last 6 months.
6 months?
7 months? How long's this been?
20 nine? Years.
26 years?
Hey, honestly, it feels like months. It's been forever. Sorry.
I can't. What day is it?
Who's Chris, that guy?
Chris, how do you start your day every day? What's like your first, can you run me down like your first hour?
Oh, I would be happy to. Okay. So if I'm being good, if I'm being a good boy, mm-hmm. I wake up at 8 and I have a nice little breakfast. If my wife is home, she will make me a nice little breakfast, which is usually just a bagel.
Okay.
Where do you get your bagels?
Told you this before. I just get them at Target. We just get like prepackaged shit ass bagels. Unless it's the weekend, then we get the nicies.
From?
You know the place. What's it called?
Bells?
Yeah, Bells.
Bells.
Seeded, butter,
everything bagel with butter.
Okay.
You can get an everything bagel at Target?
Well, you know, in a bag, like in a
bag,
like a loaf of like a
like you get six
bread.
Of them,
yeah, like a frozen lobster roll,
like
yeah.
Lenders, Thomas, you know,
yeah, yeah Thomas.
Uh-huh. They're good.
Okay, so then I'll eat my little breakfast as
you
I'm,
don't do coffee, right? Not a coffee.
I drink black tea.
Yes. Okay.
So I'll drink my black tea. Mm-hmm. I'll eat my bagel and I will, again, this is like an ideal good day situation. I have not yet looked at my phone. My phone is in another room that is not my bedroom.
Oh, I like that. That's
which incredible. I actually have been good at keeping up with.
How do you wake up at 8 o'clock then?
I have an alarm clock.
Wow. Cool. Great. I used to have an alarm clock. It died. I loved it. I never replaced it.
Dang.
I don't know if I've had one since the 90s.
It's good. You don't have to have your phone in the room. Chris is living proof.
Yeah.
So when you're eating the bagel and drinking the tea, are you just reflecting and thinking deeply or are you reading?
I'm reading a book.
Okay.
So I'll read my little book. I will kind of usually commit to reading a chapter.
Okay, warning chapter
of the book. Yeah. And then I will meditate for 10 minutes.
Oh, yes.
This is, again, you know, good there are day. Definitely days I don't sure. do this. And I kind of just like roll out of bed, grab my phone, stare at it, then watch YouTube while I'm eating. But
let's not talk about that. No, let's stick with
yeah,
this.
Those
good
are the
one.
Bad days. Yeah. So then I eat my precious bagel, read, meditate. And then I will probably lately start working on paintings.
Yes.
Either you still haven't looked at your phone in this situation?
Then I will probably look okay. at my phone. Or you know what? Actually, I will go on a walk. I will wow. grab my phone, go on a walk, and God. Listen to like music or a podcast. Likely cool. a podcast, but I try to listen to music.
Starting the day with a walk. I got to start doing that.
Yes, yeah. And great. I do like the shortest, tiniest little walk. Like I just walk down to the end of this like dead end street that's near my house. And then
are you talking about your driveway?
Yeah. Yeah. It's really short. yeah. And then,
well,
and then
sniff
I will
sniff of California air is like a bump of cocaine. I mean, it's, that's
yeah, there's all sorts of toxins and ash in it. It's great.
Yeah.
And we don't want to talk about that either. We're on the good day, Jeff.
You brought okay. up the California air, dog.
I mean, it was good last time I was there. It felt really good. Sorry. Okay. Yeah.
Well, right, that's pretty much it. Then I get started working on my precious little paintings, or like, you know, run through some emails that I have to do.
Why is everything little? Your tea's been little. Your paintings have been little. Your book has been little. Is everything actually nice, miniature? Little,
no, it's just quaint.
Little actions, oh, big dreams. Okay. You know what they say.
Thank you. I have a quaint little life.
And are you ripping through commissions now? Are you getting?
Yeah, I have been. Yes, pretty much.
That's awesome. What has been the most annoying animal to draw?
Black cats are the most annoying animal to draw.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm getting better at it. I've kind of cracked like little codes along the way.
What is it? How do you give them shape?
Okay, so what I basically do is people will send me like, I say, please send me 5 good pictures of your pet. And like, you know, I added good recently because people would send me like really bad pictures of their pets. Like, like kind of like on the ground, flipped over, like indiscernible if it's even an animal or not. So I'm like, send me like a nice picture of your pet. And so I'll choose my favorite one, and then I will go on my iPad and I will basically trace the photo on my iPad, and then take the photo out. So then I just have my tracing from my iPad, which takes me like maybe like an hour to do that. And then I'll print that off, and then I'll put that down on a light box and put the piece of paper over that, and then with pen go over the thing I've done, like the digital tracing, and then I will add paint while I'm looking at a photo of it, so I get like the shading and the lighting kind of realistic enough.
That's awesome.
How does the light box show through what you're painting on? Are you just painting on paper?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, it's watercolor paper, so it's kind of thick. But that's why I started doing the iPad thing, because when I first started doing it, I would just like print off like a photo of a raccoon that I found online and try
to a cat
and try to like trace that with like with all of its color and like dark shading and stuff, but it would be so hard. Like I would have to be in like a pitch black room basically to be able to see anything like come through the box. So that's why I started tracing it first digitally and then doing it like that.
Has taking commissions taken any of like the pure silly joy out of doing it? Or is it just getting more fun as you get better?
I guess it ebbs and flows. There's been like some times where I'm like, I don't want to do this. But then
that reverberated that, right over the Zencaster.
but that kind of went away as I realized like, it was like I was so incredibly fortunate to be like one of the only people that I know that is like a musician of my size who has found like a creative outlet than music, you know, like
totally
that is like making me money. Like you said, like as I got better at it and kind of started learning more, I felt more confident and had more fun doing it.
Sure.
And then I still do like non-commissioned animal sig paintings, and that's kind of fun sometimes. And then I just started doing other paintings of people of not non-smoking situations that are still animals, but kind of freaky.
Oh,
I found this website where you can type something in and it's like an AI generated image of whatever you typed in, but it's like not, it's like, it's basically like gobbledygook of an image. But like, if you type in some things, like animals will show up, but they're all like fucked up looking because they've been like distorted through the AI, whatever. So I've been like, and they're all like, every time you do it, it is a completely unique image that will never happen again. So I've been kind of fucking around finding some of those that I like, and then doing the same thing where I like put it into my iPad, trace that image, and then print it out, and then paint over it and kind of just make it into a painting. And it's pretty interesting to me.
Awesome. What's the animal you get where you're just like, scoop of chocolate, scoop of vanilla, I don't even need to print it out?
Wow.
I would say raccoon is kind of the easiest, and for some reason a very popular animal to want a painting smoking a cigarette of, I guess.
I mean, it's because of those funny little hands, I guess. Just imagining them grabbing anything human-sized is kind of funny.
Yeah.
Food, chicken bones.
Cigarette.
You know, cigarette. All right. Jeff, I'm not going to ask you about your first hour.
Okay.
Is it as interesting?
It's pretty similar to Chris's first hour.
Really? Are you doing the no phone as well, the whole first
hour? I on my better days, yeah. So it'll be like, you know, I'll wake up, I'll make coffee, I'll have some sort of breakfast, and I will read a little bit of a book. And
what are we talking coffee wise? You doing drip coffee?
It depends if we've made cold brew. If not, I've got an AeroPress. I really like my AeroPress. It prevents me from making like a pot of coffee every day.
Music is my AeroPress.
Is that? I don't see, Chris. I don't fucking believe you. Believe you.
I'll
fucking
show
prove
you.
It.
I'll come over later today. I'll show you.
No, show everybody listening
right now.
Right now.
All right, I made it up.
I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't mean to put you on the spot like that.
That's okay.
Oh.
Next animal's gonna be sad.
With an AeroPress. So I'll usually do that, and then for breakfast it will either be cereal or maybe granola and yogurt. Or if I have a bagel, that'll be a good lucky. That's like a lucky thing to have in my life, I feel like.
I know you're not getting bagged Target bagels.
I'm not.
Yeah.
But that's just because, like, if I get bagels, I'll just get it from the place and hold on to them for a while. I'll get, like, six, you know? And then after I've eaten six bagels, or after we've eaten, like, a few bagels in a row before they go stale, you don't really want to, like, run out and get a bag of bagels again, you know?
Yeah, sure.
And then I've been trying to not look at my phone. I've been bad about that this past week, but usually whatever book I'm reading, I'll read a little bit of that. And then, that's kind of, I don't meditate. I don't walk. I've been trying since I've been looking at my phone recently. This is only like a day or two, but to, instead of doing the scroll, to just kind of text some friends or family and just like check up on them instead. But I've been trying to do that for 2 days. And I say trying to do that. It's like I accidentally started doing that. I was like, you know what? This is actually nicer. And I still get to look at my phone.
Do you ever dig yourself into a corner with that where you're really in the mood and you text like a number of people and start engaging? And then before you know it, like you're not in the mood anymore and you have about like 13 unanswered texts. Ever happen to you?
I don't usually text like a bunch of people, just be like, what's going on? Unless it's about something like a basketball game or something that's happening right then. And then it's like, that just kind of naturally ends because it's like, oh, the Dodgers won the World Series. Okay, bye. You know?
I gotta be, as someone who texts with you a lot, you end them.
I what?
You end it.
I just bail. I asked my band because I really don't know what the etiquette was.
You're
was
like, it'll
hey
be
guys,
like,
do you just do you say bye when you leave a text, or do you just kind of let it end? And or is like, or do you just let the conversation peter out? And everyone in my band's like, just let it peter out. I'm like, okay, that's good.
You're like, you'll like text me like second quarter of a basketball game. You'll be like, yo, this dude looks pretty good.
If you don't reply right away,
and then I'll reply. I'll be like, yeah, he's looking nice. And then I feel like, you
15
know,
minutes later,
something happens in like the fourth quarter. I'm like, oh, Jeff's still probably watching, but you're gone. You're gone.
No, I'm probably watching, but I didn't get that first. You know what I mean? I know the time you're talking about, and I'm sorry. How about that?
All right. Wait, let's shift gears a little bit. We're shifting gears. Brad doesn't like when I talk about me. Even though
no,
he won't
I, what
tell
are you talking about? That's not what this is about.
No, Brad doesn't like it.
Oh, I thought you said Jeff. I was like,
no, Brad doesn't like it when I talk about me. He always yells at me.
Don't use me as your excuse, Benny.
You're bringing it out of the guest. Even though
you're allowed to talk about you. We want to know about you. What's your morning, Brad?
Oh, my couldn't be further from your guys because I have young kids.
Yeah, right?
Like everything you do is impossible. Unless I wake up at like 5:15 in the morning, which sometimes does happen. Like, you know, actually you've both toured with me, so you've seen it. Like, you know, I kind of sleep in shifts. Like, you know, I sleep for a few hours and I'm up doing something weird in a bathroom for an hour
smoking
or two.
Weed in the bathroom.
Then I go back to sleep, you know, something like that. Meditating and drinking tea in the bathroom, actually. Ah. Yeah, that's normally what I'm doing. So,
is that true?
No, you're more right than I am.
Okay, good.
Yeah, but sometimes
like, I've been wrong this whole time. Oh.
I'll wake up and I'm like, it's like 5:15 in the morning, and I basically have the choice of like trying to squeeze in an extra 45 minutes to an hour of sleep, or just getting up, making coffee, and having some of that peaceful morning quiet time. I'll do similar things that you guys do. I don't know if I meditate. I try to sit somewhere quiet and focus on my breath for a while.
That's meditating.
But I don't know if I've ever meditated in my life.
That's.
I'm not.
Who could say what that is?
Right. The only reason I think I'm meditating is because I have an app that I pay $100 a year for that I
it tells you you're meditating.
To.
Yeah. You're meditating, Chris. You're meditating, Chris. Oh. You're meditating, Chris.
As you're eating gabagool, meditating. Boing.
Yeah, and you can turn the volume up or down on the app.
Yeah, it's the same.
No, but for real, what's the prerequisite? Like, how many breath revolutions do you have to take with your eyes closed to consider it meditating? Because sometimes I don't think any.
I believe.
And I just get distracted.
This is based on nothing, and I am like an amateur meditator at
best. Have the app.
You little fuck.
But
you're talking like you know it.
But I would say at best, like, you could say a meditation is I sat down for 10 minutes and was not looking at anything. Like, I wasn't watching anything. I was just sitting there for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you feel like if you've thought about something, it no longer counts? Or is it just like, that's just part of it? You think and try and not think.
Yeah. I mean, every time I meditate, I'm definitely like thoughts come in and you just have to be like, you just have to try to gently push them away like they're a feather. That's what the guy says.
Isn't it bizarre in that logic that like that there's this really close connection, like philosophically, between like a Buddhist monk and say like a certain like 80-year-old farmer, like on his porch, who just knows how to sit there like through the day and just focus in his own mind, his or her own mind, and can see the day change and doesn't have to move and can just sit there. Like,
I feel like I could do that shit, but it's never in a helpful situation. It's always like when I should be paying attention or get something done. I'm really, really good at meditating while I should be working or should be like paying attention to a conversation or, you know.
I don't think zoning out is meditating. I don't think
that's almost like your mind playing possum, you know? Like when
playing
it's supposed
possum,
to be doing,
I don't yeah, know
it's,
what
it's like. Yeah, it's like I'm going to pretend to be asleep, like when it's not interested in something.
Yeah,
I could see that. All right, I want to shift a little bit. There's something I was thinking about this morning, and both of you can have some insight on it.
Okay, now, and we answer at the same time, Chris. Okay,
okay,
yeah,
got
same
it.
Time, and you have to say the same thing.
Of course.
So, you know, there's obviously, like, to me, a connection between people's exposure to different people in different places, and to me, like what conservative thinking sometimes lends itself to, which is often just sort of like fear and paranoia about something you don't know anything about. Like, do you think if we took in America at 18 years old, everybody has to go on a 7-week van tour cross country, back and forth through America, you know, with like not money, where you're not like, you're not doing hotel rooms, you're staying at weird people's houses, you're doing the thing, you know, really doing the thing. Do you think that there would be a more humanistic, pluralistic idea of people if everyone had that exposure?
Well, they also have to sell merch, though. They have to work the merch booth.
Okay, fair. It's fair. This is going to be tough to set up for every person. But theoretically, like, do you think it would actually do some good in changing the way people feel? Or do you think it's just from like a totally different place?
I think it might.
Chris first.
All right. I was trying to get there with him. Okay.
He beat you. He said
we're
answering
at the same time, same words.
He said a word first, Jeff. Don't sass me.
That's latency, you fuck.
you're in the same place.
We're not in the same room. Do you think we're in the same room?
We had some trajectory there.
Okay, sorry.
Let's stick with it. Chris. Please.
I think it might move the needle a little bit, but I also think, especially like forcing anybody to do anything, there might be like, you know, especially at that age, you've definitely already been informed enough by what your family thinks, you know, that it would be hard to kind of totally shift your worldview. Yeah. But I think it would certainly help. I mean, I think the worst, a lot of crap stems from people just being in their own echo chambers. Yeah, but I always think about, this is barely related to this, but for some reason this reminded me of, there was some season of The Real World where they were like in France. I think it was like Real World Paris, and there was some American guy who was just bitching the whole time because there wasn't really cheeseburgers there and stuff like that. I was just like, you dumbass.
I mean, yeah, I definitely see that it's true. Like, I guess there is a type of person and personality sometimes, or like you said, coming from a certain family, who's getting in the van in the first place.
Right. I mean, I don't understand people who like don't like traveling. Like, I'm obsessed with it. Like, it makes me feel so good. But there are so many people that are just like, no, I hate it. It sucks. Like, it's so inconvenient. You're never comfortable. And just like, I just have never felt like that. And I understand why people do feel like that, you know, logistically, I guess. But like, I just can't relate to that. So it's like, there's a disconnect there too.
Well, even in your experience, like, you know, Jeff and I are both from a place where like you're exposed to every type of person really, really early on, whether you like it or not. It's just right. the place, you know? But like you, where you're from, and because of how young you started touring, you must have seen a lot of things for like the first time on the road, right?
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah.
But I feel like that about meeting people from the South for the first time, to be honest, Benny.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I feel, or meeting people from Texas, just like kind of places that in the Northeast, like snobby ass fucks look down their nose at, right. you know what I yeah. mean?
Sure.
Or people like have preconceived notions or what everybody from somewhere is like.
Yeah.
And I never really subscribed to that or anything like that. But like, I definitely had preconceived notions because if you're just brought like up around that kind of fucking energy, you know what I mean? And then you go somewhere, I don't know. I think what you're saying. Yeah. I think if you travel around and you meet people from other places, you realize that you are all just people, you know?
It is, but it is another thing. And I don't even know. It's just something I think about too, is like, you know, in general, everywhere I travel around, like the places I congregate, I'm basically going to places where everybody
is going to be nice to you.
Right.
Thinks yeah. like me. Like it's, you know, we're like, you know, rock bands, like everybody for the most part, I would say, like, especially when you're beginning touring, you're playing in pretty like progressively minded places. You
know? Yeah. That's interesting. That was not the case for me.
Really?
I feel like, Chris. Yeah, well, ASOB didn't really, like, have any like, ties to, like, the cool DIY underground stuff in a lot of ways. Like, we had ties to the ska underground, which was its own thing, and a lot of the time you end up just playing at bars.
Right.
And you would meet people who just, like, go to that bar and are weird, but then, you know, you end up drinking and hanging out, you know?
Right. That's cool, yeah.
You know, Ben,
I don't know. Did you...
It's funny because I'm reading this book called Humankind. I don't know if you guys know it, by this guy Bregman, but...
I've heard of Humankind.
My wife
Humankind.
Gave it
That's
to me.
That's written
to,
by who? God? No, sorry.
It's Go basically on. Trying to show like the upside of human species. But I just read like just two nights ago, I was reading this part. I mean, it's become like kind of widely acknowledged in the past 50 years that like the whole, you know, that for a long time people thought that civilization, the key point was when we started like growing crops, right? And
right.
stopped like yeah. moving.
Are you talking about Sapiens, the book?
No, it's called Humankind.
Damn. Okay. Sorry.
And so like, and they've sent, you know, they started disproving this, that, oh yeah, our health went to shit because we only started eating bread and we didn't have as much free time to make art as we did when we were hunter gatherers. But this book touched on one part of it that I don't think gets discussed as much, is that the hunter gatherers were actually way more friendly, that like when they were nomadic and moving around and running into each other, they kind of like, first of all, they didn't really have a lot of reasons to get into it
right.
with each other,
yeah.
but they also were just like, they would trade, trade knowledge, trade people. Right. But like, but then once we settled down and started basically owning land, that's when
yeah.
we started fighting.
Yeah.
And that was the
birth. The land and the wheat.
Yeah. And they've shown it in like, you know, by exhuming skeletons, and like the hunter gatherers didn't fucking kill each other.
Well, that makes sense. Cause I mean, you could imagine it started like, you know, not only competition for land, but competition for like the best land.
Yeah, exactly.
Cause you know, it's like, pretty obvious that some places are super fertile,
which,
or by the water.
Which started
or
the division of, which started wealth, the idea of wealth.
Right.
Too.
Which started yeah. like a classist breakdown yeah. and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Sure. But I think I've read something also, a book by Daniel Quinn, who wrote a book called Beyond Civilization. He also wrote Ishmael. And I think in that book, he contests that the hunter gatherer society itself and a roaming society past 100,000 people is no longer possible. Right. And the concepts of hierarchy and division and, you know, land management and all the things you have to start doing at that point gets too big. So I say all this, that Thanos is right. you know?
What?
No, we need
basically
less people.
Comes down to comic books.
It all
I learned
comes down.
Everything from comics.
No, but I agree with you, Jeff, too. Like, I had the same experience in the South where, you know, and I was raised by, you know, somebody, yeah, who maybe even talked bad on it, you know, because there were stories of my father during the civil rights movement and stuff like that, and a lot of stories he had. And, you know, I go down there and quickly a lot of my suspicions are confirmed, you know what I mean? Where like I open my eyes and I don't even have to meet a person to see that the culture is different. Turn on the radio to see the culture is different from what I know. Yeah. And that things that I'm super comfortable with aren't here and vice versa. But I very much had the same experience as you, where I went to some of these cities, met people, stayed in their homes, you know, and realized that there is this like completely flat line we all start on, you know?
And yeah. There's weird, like,
yeah.
Like everybody lives everywhere, exactly. You know? But if you don't, and if you only stay in your small area, you're not going to, you know what? It's just, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying there. You know what I'm saying? Look,
Chris, if you,
I know
never
it feels
Naples
like it's too late, but get out there and vote.
Wait, yeah. Wait, Jeff, it's going to be too late.
I know it feels like, see, that's what a lot of people are going to be telling you, but
they're going to try there to tell you that.
They're going to try your 700% match active defeat Trump. Fuck.
Chris, what would you be doing right now if you never left Naples?
I mean, I only left Naples like never toured out of Naples.
Yeah, like say you just like took the total
freak never left
straight approach. You would just go fishing with Casey and Daryl, just hang out. Like, what do you think you'd be getting into?
I cannot perceive of a existence that I would have where I would not, you know, I could imagine conceptually still living in Naples, but still like, you know, often leaving and touring, but I can't imagine.
I think you would be doing community theater.
I would probably end up being a famous actor is what I was going to say. I would be in Hollywood. I would.
Wait, that's not Hollywood, Florida.
No, maybe Orlando.
Oh yeah.
I'd probably be a Nickelodeon, Disney Channel star.
Sick.
That would be nice.
Wait, I forgot. Great. Did you say, you said Naples gave you your first election? Is that what you said?
That's right. Yes.
We just gave it to him.
I was thinking today,
all that talk of Naples,
I have something we can do, guys, to make us feel a little better. Okay.
Go ahead.
So one thing I found when this guy first got elected, that made me feel good, Voldemort, was I started listening to these like podcasts about World War I and the Civil War and stuff like that. And often I'd like turn it off and be like, Jesus Christ, like that's pretty bad. You know, I'd get through 2 hours of a podcast where they're describing like one day where like 90,000 people were killed in like one battle in one town.
That right. does like, make me feel better. Thanks.
And I'm just like, well, it should. So what I looked up today,
damn, doubling down. Okay.
Was the 8 scariest days in U.S. history. Okay. I thought it would be fun to go through. No.
Yeah, sure.
And
I've already watched all 8 Saw movies, so this can't hurt. This can't do that much more damage.
I just saw Halloween for the first time, which is a pretty scary movie, but also it's shot exactly where I run in the middle of the night every night.
Is it really?
Oh my god!
No. Yeah,
no.
I've made it to the house and back before in my long routes, but like that's the neighborhood, like Pasadena, South Pasadena.
Oh my god. Do you just wear like head to toe reflectors now, like blasting music?
I at night I don't put on any headphones because cars might just sneak up out of nowhere and hit you, but I wear pretty bright clothes. But I only saw it a few days ago, and now anybody I see just standing on the street, I'm just like, oh fuck, oh fuck, yeah. Oh fuck.
You're suspect.
Yeah.
All right. So So at the end of this, I'm going to tell you why I did this exercise, okay?
Okay.
So quickly.
And it's only eight.
I found eight. There's obviously a lot of other contenders. You know, this isn't like a firm. This isn't like Friendster top eight. Okay. Where, you know, it's firm and confirmed by science.
Great.
Okay. So August 24th, 1814, the British burned down the White House. Only 31 years after independence and Revolutionary War. April 14th, 1865, Lincoln's assassinated. Fun. October 29th, I almost said 1929, Black Tuesday, the stock market crash. Millions of Americans who had money the following day had no money. And it started the Great Depression. We got December 7th, 1941, the attack on Pearl Harbor.
Isn't it insane that we're like, okay, and we'll just do the stock market again?
Oh, yeah, let's just kick it back up.
Let's just do that again, but not fuck it up this time.
Yeah, in a quick description of what happens during this time, we've nearly done this and are about to do it again. Like, so we are always on the precipice of this, for
history,
sure.
I made this up. History repeats itself, and you can't say it because I said it first, and I own it. Trademark Jeff, and I said on the podcast, so you can't, so shut up.
You need a t-shirt.
You were saying?
October 22nd, 1962, the Cuban Missile 41? Crisis.
World War II?
Oh, Pearl Harbor. Attack on Pearl Harbor.
Okay.
Yeah, fun. October 22nd, 1962, not only the Cuban Missile Crisis, this was the night JFK went on TV and confirmed to people the Soviet Union was placing nuclear bombs in Cuba. So that's what began kids hiding under their desks and shit right. like that.
Yeah.
The following year, November 22nd, 1963, John F. Kennedy is assassinated.
Yeah.
You know, also fueling the Russian theories since Oswald tried to... defect to the Soviet Union in 1959. Mm-hmm. April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King is assassinated, mm-hmm. followed by not only riots, but unjustified jailing and murders of civil rights workers. And then let's go for the big one. 9/11, 2001. You guys know it happened. So I bring all these up, okay?
They say nothing between that was as bad, which is inaccurate to me.
I think there are some worse ones. One for me, that I saw as kind of like an honorable mention, which is hard to say about travesties, was the Challenger shuttle exploding, which I remember watching on TV and it freaked me the fuck out.
How about fucking Columbine?
Yeah.
Yeah. True.
That's still scary.
Yeah.
I hate to make this reference, but Columbine is like the reason, it's not on here is the same reason the Beach Boys weren't on like top 20 lists until like 10 years ago. It'll age into it.
Wow. That's a spicy take, Benny.
Thanks, buddy. So I say all this because besides for the first two, which were in the 1800s, like the last six were in the last 90 years.
Yeah.
Like all where our grandparents were alive, parents were alive, we were alive to see most of it. I also found something I wrote from 2005 in a zine where I was, you could take a couple of the paragraphs I wrote about George W. Bush at the time and like put it on my Twitter account right now. And it would make absolute sense because I'm saying the exact same shit.
Yeah.
The one thing this exercise did to me and made me think, especially after a conversation with my father, who spent 2 years in Brazil in the Peace Corps in the 1960s and came home to, you know, Nixon, early Vietnam. And while he was gone, I believe Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy being shot, you know,
so
kind of explained like he came home thinking this country was falling apart at the seams.
Yeah.
And it very well may be. But the only thing
it
that
was.
This exercise gives me is the fact that maybe it's always falling apart at the seams. Maybe like there's something about the spirit about what we do that doesn't allow for that like insane consistency, say like an autocratic or like a communist type place might have.
Like, I think that that's a nice thought, but I mean, I think you could clearly follow the thread from Nixon to now as its own terrible, continuous falling apart.
Yeah.
Considering, like, just, you know, the, like, the civil rights shit, like the fucking fucked up marijuana laws that were passed, the SWAT team, Reagan's war on drugs, like everything just meant to oppress
real estate scams.
Yeah, like it's all from the same. That's all from that to me. I don't know if I'm ignoring what's happening in the 50s there. And I'm not saying that everything was great before Nixon, obviously. I don't know. I don't think that it has to always be something's terrible happening, because that just is what it is, you know? Maybe
I don't mean something terrible happening. What I mean is, like, you know, the function of democracy itself is based on some strange spirit of compromise, right? And I think when you're making progress or degressing from progress, as we've seen recently, there is this sort of, like, you know, what I'm saying is there always seems to be this painful leap from one to the other. And if there's anything the last few years have taught me, is that my optimistic hopes are that this is another of a painful leap. Even in the idea that, like, when Barack Obama, I know it's dark and morbid, but when he was elected president, I was like, I voted for this guy. I'm all about this. I don't think he's going to make it through the presidency. I thought he was going to get shot.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to get shot and killed in the first 4 years because I already knew these people existed. And then not only that, he made it through 8. He's not only still alive, he's fucking, his jump shot's still wet.
He's like, you saw that video too.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude. He dropped it. You know, that's what I do. And, like, you know, not only that, he's one of the more famous people in America, an influencer, like him and his wife and his kids are on their way up, this, like, legacy family that you imagine you're going to be hearing this name forever. I didn't even think that was possible, you know? So I do, you know, Jeff, I know we went through this. You were one of the first quarantine episodes.
Yeah, I wonder if that person in my neighborhood who listened to that and told me I need mental help on on Twitter, I wonder if now all those things that they're like, oh, okay, that's fair enough.
Oh, yeah, that's true. You got attacked for that.
I don't think that person was trying to attack me, but, yeah, you know, that's all I'll say about that.
Chris, do you think there's any truth to what I'm saying? Does it make you feel any better?
Were
you just feeling fine in the first place?
He's feeling fine until you said a list of the 8 worst days.
For me, 2020, best year ever. I don't know what everybody's so up in arms about. Strangely and morbidly, this is, you know, not exactly related, just not precisely related to what you were saying. Mm-hmm. But knowing that other bad times have happened in our country definitely makes me, it just gives me a sense, like, you know, just very plainly, like, this too shall pass. You know, like things are bad and things are good and things are bad and things are good. Like, it feels very, very bad right now. And I have faith that they will not be this bad forever. That's the best I could say.
I love it, because that's kind of exactly the point I was trying to get to. And listen, well, this is a long way of convincing myself, you know?
Yeah.
Is it okay if I'm not convinced at all still?
No, we'll still
be friends.
No, because you're probably right. You know, and we've even talked about this in person. And I've talked
talked in person.
Well, not in a while, but we have talked in person before.
I know.
And, you know, I go through this literally philosophically all the time, because I literally have two parts of my brain actively fighting each other on gun ownership, and they have been for years.
Yeah.
Because I was raised in a nonviolent household, preaching nonviolence, preaching community, you know, not exactly love for people. I mean, they were still old, salty New York Jews, but, you know, and but there's this part of me that And then there's this very real part of me that's like, I own property. I have a family. These dangerous people out there exist. They exist with things that I don't have. And rationally, I should have this thing to make sure that we're okay.
Yeah.
And I do believe in that, too. I believe I'm being logically and rationally correct in that assumption. But this sort of an outlook is what keeps me away from doing it. Because does the real righteous person buckle down to that fear? You know, does the person who really believes in something, the real revolutionaries, not calling myself that, but being guided by people like that, like they don't buckle down to that stuff? You know, and the idea of like, oh, I'm going to stock up my house and I'm going to be paranoid and I'm going to learn this weird new trade and I'll put my name in the gun rolls or whatever the fuck happens. You know, am I going to do that on the off chance that I may need it? Or will I just go through the rest of my life like being like, nah, fuck that. It's too much time. It's too much energy. And I want to live a different life than that. So fuck that.
Can't you just learn, like, say how to just like pummel someone? You're a tough guy.
Like, well, like I feel like if you just pummel,
no, like you knock at the door and they're like, hey, I'm a bad person that's ready to do this. And you just go, pow. And they're like, oh no. And they run away. Not they run away, but then you take their gun, you go, get out or else. And then then you don't have to put your name in the gun rolls.
I mean, I've only heard one person doing that.
Isn't that how it works?
And his name was LL Cool J.
Yeah, that's how you get a new gun. Does that answer your question, Benny?
No.
Benny?
No. No. No, it doesn't.
Is he gone?
Benny's gone.
Benny left.
Wait, am I muted?
He mic dropped. Benny went to go get a gun.
He's on his way to buy a gun.
Oh, wait,
I wonder if Benny thinks he's... This is a crazy time to leave the conversation.
Uh-oh.
Damn.
Made his point and he dropped his mic.
Wow.
Oh, man. Do I have a text from
there he is.
Like,
there he is. There he is. There he is.
Hey, man.
Why
I'm just
am I
trying
gone?
To, you know.
Am I gone again?
Was there somebody at your door, Benny, with a gun?
Yo, Jeff freaked me out and I dropped my computer.
Oh,
I just ran to the door.
Yeah, I ran to the door while sharpening my axe. And no one was there proving my point.
I just don't want you to have to feel like you need to have a gun. That's what I want. I know that's not realistic, but that shit's just sad. I know other people who are like, shit, man, I might have to get a gun. And I'm just like, that's crazy. But, you know, Nazis are empowered now. It's fucking some scary ass shit. I wonder, man, I don't know. I wonder if it's just from being Jewish that, like, this whole thing is just, like, super, like, I don't know. Like, I hear when people are like, eh, everybody, it's all the same. It doesn't fucking matter. I'm not voting. I'm like, do you not fucking know about the Holocaust, bruh? And like, come on.
Well, and Jeff, that's not just a feeling. I mean, that's historical accuracy. There are like, you know,
are you implying that I'm saying that the Holocaust was a feeling, Benny?
No, I'm saying that there are like thousands and thousands of people documented who wrote things that are like, you know what? I don't think it's that bad. I feel more German than I do Jewish. Jews who fought for Germany in World War I, which were many, you know?
Yeah.
So, there were droves of people who never thought that that could happen in Germany. Like, that's just...
Exactly. Yes. That's...
I mean, the biggest... Yeah. You know what? You can take comfort in those facts, but I think you still have to remain vigilant because... democracies have failed and they can fail and to think that can't happen is dangerous, but it's okay to be
nothing lasts forever in its way that it is. And to think that America will never collapse or democracy here is like, you know, infallible or impossible to break is like the most obnoxiously American way to think about things fucking ever. It's just like, nah, man, we're perfect and nothing goes wrong. So suck it, you know?
Which like, is honestly insane. Like, if you follow like the last 2,000 years of world history, it's just like the most insane concept too. Because even in this list I just told you, I mean, we're so new. You know what I mean? Like, we literally got our White House burnt down 200 years ago by basically Canadians.
Yeah. You know? No, Canadians did burn our White House down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like, that wasn't that long ago. Like, all these world wars, civil war, things that split this country apart. Like, we've definitely in this short history, this run of, like, some kind of dominance didn't really exist in our minds until some sort of like post-World War One sort of thing.
Yeah.
And even then, even before Pearl Harbor, we considered ourselves some sort of, you know, weird isolationist place that wasn't going to get involved. And, you know, and then we went there. We thought our, you know, big American cock is the one that did it all. You know, we dropped our big cock bombs.
Thanks for saying cock again.
You know, had like, you know, 20 years of, you know, big virile hard cocks coming back to America.
We did kind of have 20 good years there.
Doing a lot of, you know, hard cockery things.
20 great years for white people.
And then, I think you're right. In like somewhere around Vietnam, when everybody in America realized we're fighting a war for all the wrong reasons and being lied to at the same time, I think it shook a lot of faith in like the American government to govern its own people. In a weird way, I think it branched like liberalism and these fucking militia fucks, you know, because it did sow a distrust in government, because right on the surface, they got caught lying, you know, time and time again about what was happening over there, and people died as a result. Definitely fucked with policing, all of it. So I think there's some truth to say in that. But whatever, we're not historians.
Well, I'm certainly not.
You're not.
I definitely didn't pass the test.
We have college degrees here, any of us?
I thought, who does? Benny, you sounded like a historian, and you're talking about the big cock bombs and doing big cock things. That sounded like a historian talking.
Historians always historian. Talk about cocks.
It's a British historian. If you say...
Oh, Cockney. Yeah, if you say...
That's it.
It's a flippy dippy at the whippy. Chris?
I like it.
Thank you.
All right. So, Chris, I got a question for you.
Thank you. Yes, finally.
Yeah. You're so polite. How long have you had this Entertainment Tonight theme in your pocket? Like, how long have you been jamming that lick?
Was that from the telethon?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. A month.
That's it?
Yeah. No, I was... I don't remember why I decided I wanted to learn it. I just thought it would be funny to do it. And I have been kind of thinking about the idea of like instrumental cover songs a lot, because something that is very prevalent in this this time right now is everybody is doing comps for different things, and you are in some cases suckered into doing them, and you want to do them, and other cases like it's friends and you're like, oh hell yeah, this will be fun.
There's so, like, you know, 8 people listening right now really wondering which one they are.
I know, that's why I expanded it. That's why I expanded it. And so I don't know, I've just been thinking about what are more to me interesting things to do in spaces like that. And you know, thinking of a 1.5 minute long instrumental cover song was something that I've never done something like that before, and I've never really made instrumental music in any way. Like, obviously it's a cover, but like, you know, you're still like thinking of it differently when there's not vocals on it. So it was just like kind of a fun thing to do. And I'm making a recording of that as well.
Cool. I got to give you credit, Chris, because in my very, very seasoned and experienced musical ear. I'm being half tongue in cheek right now, but I have heard a lot of music. I really thought that, like, in my head, I imagine you've had that lick in your pocket for a long time, like that you figured it out on the couch like 15 years ago and have been nibbling at it for a long time because you played it really confidently. Like,
yeah, I mean, I only
like
played
Dave
it confi-
Mustaine confidence.
I mean, I have a mask on. You can't see my worried face. and I was definitely like, that's like one of the most, I practiced that riff more than I have ever practiced for any Antarctica Vespucci set we've ever played or Chris Farron set I've ever played.
I could tell. And I could also tell by your jump that you were super psyched to get out of that weird little bridge part you wrote and back to the main lick. I could right. see that. You're like, I made it. I made it. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
It was really good guitar playing, Chris.
It really was. I was impressed.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Yeah. I don't really have many like back pocket riffs or like, I don't think I could, aside from maybe a few songs that I have, a few cover songs that I have like recorded, I don't really think I can play that many covers. Like that's something that always amazes me about like Jeff and John and like the Death Rosenstock band is like how, you know, how you guys can like figure out a song just together without even hearing it. It's like
Bomb used to be able to do that like crazy and right. just because we all grew up listening to the same exact music.
Right.
Because
right.
we like grew up together. So we would just be like, oh, okay. We could play like 12 Green Day songs without even thinking about it because we've spent the last like 10 years of our lives listening to this and singing along to it, like as we learn to play music, you know? Yeah, totally. I think it's weirder now doing a cover song or doing a cover anything because I feel like there's more thought to it, you know?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. So we covered, Chris, can I talk about the thing that we covered together? Not too in detail, but do you know if that's going to be a surprise?
I don't think so. Yeah, it's just, who cares?
Okay, so we did a cover of Damn It, and after it was done, I realized I never even listened to that for reference. Did you?
Wow.
No.
So we didn't, so it was not listened to, because we were just like, yeah, I know how Damn It goes.
Wait, I will say when I was recording the vocals, I checked a few things about the vocal melody.
Okay.
And I was very confused at different points because it's, you know, it's a very punk thing. And it's like the vocal melody is not as easily discernible as I initially thought. But other than that, yeah.
That's interesting.
Not even fact checked.
Yeah. No. So like even that, like I'm not, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's the structure.
Right.
Oh, maybe not.
Listen, Wikipedia made its whole life out of what you guys did.
Yeah,
it's like I'm pretty sure this is what happened. You know, it's good.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Take them down,
Jeff. I saw you doing a show the other night with Death Rosenstock and a hologram of John, which is funny. What's up with John not coming anyway? What did he have to do?
John lives in New York.
I know.
Wait, there's a pandemic.
Can't take a drive. Rent an Uber?
I don't, man, like,
rent
I don't,
an Uber.
Okay, so asking him to drive across the country to maybe record that set, because we didn't know if we were going to do it. We were like, if we get Seth Meyers done, we'll play a set, you know?
Right, right.
Because that's what we were there to do that day. Seemed not like the right thing to do. It didn't seem like there was any safe way to get him over here.
No,
like, we were going to be in a closed area together. It's like, I don't know if we felt, I didn't know what to do. So that's why John wasn't there.
Is the other crew that local? They live that close?
Yeah, everyone else is California. So me and Kevin both drove up, and Dan's Santa Cruz and Mike's San Jose. We recorded in Oakland.
That's right.
And the crew was from San Jose.
So how was full on mask singing? I saw you mention like two songs in, you're like, now I can see why all these people sit in a room and take their masks off while they do this.
It's
pretty rough.
It was rough in that it just kept falling off of my face and it was frustrating. But as far as like breathing and stuff, it was fine. But also like I run 20 miles a week with a mask on. So I am used to this shit.
Respect to you for doing that, because at the beginning of this pandemic in Jersey City, I mean, people were getting really bold with how close their heavy breathing, sweaty,
yeah,
barely clothed bodies were coming to me, and I really didn't like it.
Yeah, it's no good. I mean, I think there's a bit of a compromise now that I will do, which is if you don't fucking see anybody on the street for a while, you know, just hold on to your mask and throw it on when it's time. Like when you see Michael Myers standing there ready to kill somebody in the house, literally from Halloween that you're running past. But like, no, it was annoying, but it wasn't so annoying that I wanted to risk anybody in my band getting COVID on the off chance that they fucking could. Sure. Like, I don't know. I think with that thing, there are a handful of people who maybe saw it as like being a statement that we were wearing masks. But it's really? No, it's not like we wanted to wear masks, because you fucking have to wear masks in that situation.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. And if it's a like choice between singing in a band and playing music with my friends and I have to wear a mask and it's annoying sometimes, or I don't get to do it ever again, I'll take the fucking mask. It's not even a question.
Yeah,
it's true. It's
not that hard to do.
Right? It's part of the problem is that people have made wearing or not wearing some sort of political statement, when it's just like, hey, if we're all just listening to like super smart people, we would just like be doing this, you know?
I refuse to believe that people have made wearing a mask a political statement.
Oh, you should believe that, because it's definitely a political statement.
I think not wearing it is a political statement. I think wearing it is a sign that you are trying to help your fellow human beings out. I don't think wearing it is a political statement. I think it's a statement of kindness.
Yeah.
And true. Understanding. I think that the issue being presented as like a politicized thing with it, where there's like two sides to an argument, like there aren't two sides. There's one side. There's one side where there's one group of people here who are going, I don't give a fuck about anybody else. I'm going to ignore the data. I'm going to ignore the science, because I don't want to wear a mask, because I don't like, I don't know, ma'am.
That's true. You're right.
You understand what I'm saying?
No, I do. It's part of the illusion that has been created by people way smarter than me.
It's part of the illusion being created by the fucking media, by presenting both of these sides as sides and not one side as a complete batshit wrong way to think, giving everybody equal airtime, presenting this as like, all right, it's election night. We have these two guys are going at it. It's like, no, it's like the fucking guy who has white supremacist support and who has people like violently blocking other people's ways to the polls, who's inciting violence. Like, it's not this two-sided thing. It's a crazy thing. I don't know. It's hard to articulate it. Terrifying as shit. Ate something spicy, is terrifying.
But Jeff, here's what you need to answer. So you run. Has that person ever had fun while they were running in their life?
Yeah.
Because every time someone's running by me, they look like they're like grossly in pain or out of breath. I've never seen someone just running down the street, sweaty and like joyfully smiling. I've just never seen it.
I don't know if I've done like a joyful smile, but I've definitely done like a, all right, okay, you know?
So it's like you also don't see people like in porn joyfully smiling.
What kind of...
He's right.
Chris, do you not go to smilesonly.com?
All smiles, all the time.
Everybody knows the only porn site I visit is girlsayingchris.com.
It's true.
No, it's true. I guess you don't joyfully smile when you're greatly expending energy. I smile a lot when I play drums.
It's kind of like that kind of smile where you're just like, ooh. Well, I mean, playing drums is different because it's like pure joy, but running could feel like that sometimes, man. Like, I have it. I take notes every day after I like track my runs, like just a little thing. Yeah, just because, like, I don't know, I got leg issues because I'm old and I run, and I'm just kind of like, I want to know if something happens to be able to go back and be like, okay, did this happen before? Or it just helps me do things like remember to drink water every time before I run, remember not to run if I'm hungry every time, like that kind of stuff. Little things.
Yeah, sure.
But there's definitely ones, especially in the past week or two, when I've like bumped my runs up to like 5, 6, 7 miles that I'm like, this was fun today, where it feels fun. And that's the thing. It's like it's a depression alleviator. But it's also a gross, disgusting thing where you're just panting and huffing and puffing and you feel like you're going to die the whole time. So, I don't know.
Chris?
I agree.
Chris, you should run with me.
I would love to. Hey, also, actually, I literally yesterday bought a bike.
Ooh. Shit, that's sick.
I'm so excited. It's a nice...
How close are you to right now?
I could ride my bike. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. It's so nice. Makes me want to move to LA.
Let's go, baby.
Yeah. Lakers!
Chris, I'll deliver you some pizza.
You would hate the pizza scene here, man. It sucks.
Yeah, I know.
You can't get a slice.
I mean,
you just can't.
The last time I toured the U.S. with Mercy Union, I didn't eat anything but Mexican food from basically like Texas to Oregon, just because I really missed Southwest and West Coast Mexican food.
Right. You don't need to eat pizza while you're over this way.
No, you don't.
If you live here, you're kind of just like, ah, shit, I wish there was I just wish there were more good options. It's not even like the pizza's bad. It's just like they're weird. It's weird pizza.
Pizza's in shambles by us anyway. It's weird. Pizza's not the same.
This is what I want to know. What's going on with pizza over there?
Listen, I'll tell you. So ever since this mini overpriced Neapolitan pizza craze kicked in.
Oh, no.
You know, where like you go to a place, they're like, oh, I'll take like a cheese pizza. And it's like just this
10 inches, $15.
Tiny little guy burnt by hickory wood, just covered in sauce with like 3 little dollops of something on top of it. And I'm like, what?
Probably still pretty tasty.
It's fine. It's good. But it's like that old style of just walking somewhere and getting a slice, like a slice of pure New York style thin crust off the pie.
Yeah.
Seems like it's dying.
Is it in Jersey or in New York?
It's going the way of the Jewish deli. You know,
Damn, that's some sad shit.
It is. Like you go to the city now and your options are like, oh, we do mini Detroit style squares. Oh, we do Neapolitan
Detroit style pizza to have been taking over New York.
Yeah.
Pizza the last fucking 3 years makes me so angry.
Ever since you left, Jeff.
It was while I was there, too. And my band always gives me shit about it. They just send me pictures of Detroit-style pizza all the time. Like, look, it's a good slice. I'm just like, fuck you guys.
But, yeah. So I'm sorry to report. My pizza report is no good. Brad, I'm right in this, right?
Yeah, you may be being a little negative.
I'm dramatizing.
I feel like at least, like, the East Village, Lower East Side scene is still... I mean... As my 12-year-old likes to point out, she's near her school. They still have dollar slices, which blows my mind. That's exactly
part of the problem. Those are terrible.
Yeah.
No, it counts. It's good. Two Brothers. Gimme, gimme. I love it.
I hate Two Brothers.
They cook it in less than a second.
Dude, there's like 4 slivers of cheese on a Two Brothers slice.
Give me a shitty ass dollar slice. I want it.
Yeah. I can tell you from experience working at pizza places, cheese is what dictates the quality, and it's because cheese is the most expensive element. So if they're selling you a 99-cent slice, more often than not, it's lacking in cheese.
All pizza is good pizza.
Yeah, it's like, you know, what do they say? Pizza and sex, right?
Who says that?
They say pizza and sex.
Bad pizza is still good, right?
You know who came up with that phrase? Chris Farron's family.
Hey, we're from New York. We got the biggest blimp you ever seen.
Hey, guys, this was fun.
Thank you.
So I don't know what's happening in the world right now. We were just off of social media and phones and TV for 2 hours. I don't think we're going to know This episode's airing.
I've checked in once or twice. Everything's still the same.
Was I not supposed to be staring at my phone the whole time?
So when this comes out, it'll be Wednesday morning.
We'll know how last night went.
November 4th. And we're either going to be releasing this episode going, it was funny we did that, or this feels kind of weird. But it's coming out regardless because I'm posting it tonight. So
you're posting it tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Brad does. He says in order to get it going by early morning, you got to post it at night, bro.
What's nighttime for you?
Well, we go live at like 3 a.m. because iTunes often has a delay on it.
Wait, Brad, don't give up podcast secrets.
You really don't have to worry about us.
Yeah,
probably following that. It's following that advice.
Brad, this is the competition.
Oh, yeah.
Bad to the eye, man. Maybe it'll be out this week.
Oh, yeah, we should.
You want to do some plugs?
Yeah, new episode of Bad to the Eye, Man out on Friday. Jeff, what movie are we watching?
I don't think I'm going to commit to this.
All right.
But maybe. I don't know what movie. I'd have to look.
Great.
Cool. Sorry.
Good plug.
But you should there's so many episodes. Just whatever. Listen if you want.
Yeah, plug the catalog. Why should I listen to the catalog?
If you don't like Lost, you can listen to the last 10 episodes of our show that were about Batman instead.
Or the last two that were just about other movies because we didn't feel like watching Batman movies.
What is the now I'm curious. What out of watching Batman movies for that time, what do you think the best Batman movie is?
So far that we've watched is to so the Dark Knight,
right?
Yeah.
Mm.
That's a good one.
It's a good one.
The bad ones are fun to watch.
I liked Batman Forever a lot still. It held up in a way I didn't expect it to.
I had fun watching Batman 66.
Yeah.
A really fun one.
Yeah. And the first Batman, of course, is a classic. I think we have Batman Returns on deck. We have a bunch of good ones on deck, and then also Suicide Squad. So I'm not sure.
Returns is still good. You'll enjoy it.
Yeah, Returns was my favorite of that chunk when I was younger.
Well, everybody listen.
Batman and Robin is so insane.
Yes.
Why?
It's
just an absurd movie.
Is that Chris O'Donnell?
That's George Clooney, whose first line is, "Hi, Freeze, I'm Batman."
Oh. That's awesome. Well, yeah, Jeff and Chris, thank you for coming on the election day. Tuesday.
Yeah. Nice to talk to you, Benny. Nice to talk to you, Brad.
Yeah,
I think this format of not really having a lot of questions for you guys, I'm never going to do again. But I still had a great
time. Great.
Yeah. We did it.
Cool. We did it. I hope everybody listening, you know, had this helped you throughout your day.
Yeah. The list of the 8 scariest moments in American history. I'm sure that really eased everybody's minds.
I hope talking about the Holocaust, whether or not we actually have to get guns now to defend ourselves. I hope that really just cheered you right on up.
Yeah. All right.
Let's get a sound effect to end it on an up note.
Hold on.
Whoa. Shaving?
Choo-choo!
Is that in time, Benny?
Nice.
One.
God bless.
All right.
Yes. Well, let's keep this intro. I think we're probably about 2 hours into this episode gone off track.
Yeah,
right?
I think so.
So anyone who's still here,
thanks.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing this through all the way to the end, especially my wonderfully uplifting topic. It helps me. I don't know. It helps
Benny,
me.
I would like Maybe. To think that, I mean, I know for a fact that a great portion of going off track is, as you say, questions that you want to ask. And I think that's absolutely, totally fine, because the truth is, thanks, is that man. Like you're the everyman. You're asking them for our audience. So
I'm the everyman?
Yeah, you're the everyman for mm-hmm. our audience.
Is it because I bought a chainsaw?
It's because you're a drummer.
Wow. I do know how to handle wood.
Isn't a drummer the most blue-collar guy in a band?
Yeah, we've been through this. Yeah, yeah. They are either the most utilitarian, blue-collar, you know, resourceful person in the band, or they're like fucking Frankenstein, you know? You just kind of got to lead them around, like, clicking your fingers.
Anyway.
So, I'm not sure. But if anyone's still here 2 hours in, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening today. And thank you for always listening to Going Off Track. Brad wants to get me a new microphone so I can take these little earbuds out. So maybe consider going to our Patreon and becoming a member if you'd like. We have some fun stuff on there and secret videos and polls. And I'm going to start chatting with people. Yeah, whatever. You know, that shit.
Or just give us a good review on iTunes. Follow us on Instagram. Right.
Yeah, some guy said he would rather listen to Going Off Track than have sex. Did you see that?
Yes, I did see that.
It was crass, I appreciated it.
It's a bit extreme, but you know what? He needs to find some better people to have sex with, maybe. But you don't have to find a better podcast, because obviously there is none.
No. You're in the right place for that. I don't know where you live, friend. I would try to help you find better sexual partner, but it's just out of my wheelhouse. I'm not a madame, you know? Never done that sort of thing.
But I'll take the compliment. Thanks.
Yeah, I will. I appreciate it. But thanks to Chris and Jeff. You know where to find them on social media. I didn't look it up. I just follow them. So follow Chris and Jeff. But they are both extremely active right now. Jeff released an album from home. Chris has been releasing songs that are really good.
Yeah.
Some of his best. Did that Entertainment Tonight cover, which fucking cracked me up. Jeff is doing the live, you know, did a great live stream. He was on Seth Meyers, put out his collection of new songs. So my friends Jeff and Chris are staying incredibly functional. I hope as a progression of their function, they write the next Antarctica Vespucci record that I can drum on and tour with.
Woo.
So let's hope that's happening. I mean, they live close enough together. They have all these funny noisemakers. Might as well, right?
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, come on. So that's that. Let's go. Let's go see who won the election.
Oh, okay. Gracious. Yay! Go America! And hopefully we'll see you next week.
Maybe.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at yoquierodineropodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.